You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. And in the presence of God, we're looking back in history. Israel was at the top of the pile and the beginning. Exodus chapter 19, etc. But as we come to Jeremiah, Israel is about to go to the very bottom of the pile by Nebuchadnezzar. Of all the nations, Israel on top, Israel going to the bottom. Now, so looking at that, which we are, and here we are in this present age, church age, and we are reminded our Lord introduced the age by an evil we are looking at and we are dwelling in, an evil and adulterous generation of unbelief. And the only sign he's going to give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Risen 3 days. And how's he going to do that? He's seated at the right hand of God. Right. But God's going to take the body of believers that believe, place them in his own body as his own body, and they are going to represent the wonderful resurrected life of the Lord Jesus, because they are going to be indwelt by him so that he is able to reveal himself not only to the human heart that believes, but to all them that might see and understand. Now, so having said that, so we want to back, as we're back in Jeremiah, looking and getting all the information, since that's they're there, but we're here. So we want to gain from that. And we share together in the process that Israel, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, gets darker and darker and darker. Now, and they have no light and no hope. They're very limited and very little. And therefore the enemy, as the enemy approaches, they are told over and over again, the enemy is approaching. God is giving them warning. Now, in the light of that, so in the process, so their daily lives are going every day. They get out of bed and do whatever that they do. And in the process, all of it is going downhill. So as we looked at Jeremiah, Jeremiah is in the days of Josiah, a good king, after Manasseh, a very, very, very bad king. But Josiah is a good king. He can't do much. But he honors God as best he can. Now, in the light of everything. Now, so here in Jeremiah chapter 2, picking up the thought, remember now that if you're going to leave God out of the picture, and you're going to get God out of the picture, remove God, so you don't have God, and then living on planet Earth in the light of history, which you may or may not care about, in the light of the future, which is sitting in front of you, and that becomes obvious even if we don't want it to be, especially in these days. Because in the days of Abraham Lincoln, they didn't have the access to the global situation on a personal basis every day. We do. We don't just have what's happening in Washington or something, if you were Lincoln. No, what's happening all over the world. That creates a whole different environment for us. Whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not, that's where we are. Now, having said that, so therefore in Jeremiah chapter 2, picking up if I can, in verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, number one, the fountain of living waters. Therefore, they have no water, you're going to die. And hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. So they're seeking to eliminate God, and therefore they eliminate, and they're trying to substitute something on planet Earth as they see it, as they see it and can do it, cisterns that hold water in the ground, etc. And they don't work. What do you mean they don't work? God put it together. What do you mean they don't work, God? Over, if you would, please. Over in verse 26. And the thief is ashamed when he is found. So is the house of Israel ashamed. They were their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, saying, what are they ashamed of? What are they doing? Saying to a stalk, an idol, a piece of wood, stone, or something else, thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth and given me birth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. So everything goes along wonderful until push comes to shove, and then we got to call out from the foxhole, God. Because we don't have God, we don't need God. Till everything else fails, then we need God. Now, verse 28. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will you plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. So God, they haven't done well at all, and it isn't going well for them. Sliding down, verse 30. In vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a devouring lion. So God sent the prophets in to wake them up, to warn them, and they killed them or got rid of them. They rejected them. So now, having said that, that's how it's been going to go. And they keep they won't put God back into the picture at all, and therefore God is left out totally. Now, what is that? But in push comes to shove, you're going to have to say, after trusting everything and rejecting God, God, I need you now. And God said, don't do that, because you'll find I'm not there. Now, chapter 8. And in chapter 8, if I may, picking up, please. In chapter 8, verse 14, get the idea. Why do we sit still? Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall, bitterness, to drink. Because, why? We have sinned against the Lord. Now, in other words, God, we're going to end up having to do what we're going to do. The only thing we can do is run to the city and hide behind the wall. Verse 60. We looked for peace, but no good came. For a time of health, and behold, trouble. We got in the wall, now what are we going to do? We're all hemmed in, the enemy's around us. What are we going to do? Wow. We looked for peace. There wasn't any. Over now to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, you recall, and picking up, if I can, in chapter 14, verse 19. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hast thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us And there is no healing for us, no. We looked for peace, and there is no good. And for a time of healing, and behold, trouble. We acknowledge, verse 20, O Lord, our wickedness and our iniquity, the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. But that's the remnant trying to cry out. But the body of people is not that way at all, and they're just trusting the system, trusting the walls, trusting the weapons, trusting the military, etc., etc. So they're doing all of those things now. So there's no peace, no good, no health, no healing, none whatsoever. Now back over to chapter 22. And in chapter 22, picking up, remember now, they're given away the way of life and a way of death, and if they stay in the city, they're going to die. If they surrender and yield to Nebuchadnezzar, the enemy, they'll live. Now, so here in chapter 22, we share together the statement, verse 2, and say, "Hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sitteth upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates." That's the temple, a city, temple. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore they need, verse 5, they need to do something. And if they don't fix it, judgment, etc., as we shared last time. Verse 5, "But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation." Now, if you are not going to hear, not going to hear me, I swear. Now, when you catch that, I swear by myself. I don't swear by anybody else. When I say I'm going to do something, and I swear by myself, said God, you watch out. When I make a thing, and I tell you I'm going to do it, and I swear by myself, you can count on it. Beware. Hang on. Now, so God, you gave them certainly a notice, as always, saith the Lord, that this house, the temple, that they're looking at, kings, all they got to do is look out their window. Here's the palace just south of them, and they look out the window, and there's the temple. So therefore, as it were, so, "And thus this house shall become a desolation, an awesome destruction." And so you're warning them, God, about an awesome ending. You've been doing it all the way through, but they haven't been listening. And you see the word desolation, what's going to come. Go back over just to pick up the flavor of that as you've been reading, studying, chapter 17. Chapter 17 and verse 27. "But if you will not hearken to me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem," we studied all that, "on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." In other words, I'm going to start a fire that no fire department can put out. It's just going to burn. Plain old burn. That's all. Wow. Just like Nero burned Rome in order to put up his house. Well, blame the Christians, etc. Now, so back over. Chapter 22. And in chapter 22, again, Jeremiah. Remember now, his family, Anathoth is where his home was. His family, his friends, the people, the kings, the priests, the prophets, the city, the temple, are all out against him. Now, who's for him? See, you have to understand that, because everything's against him. That's right. Everything's against him. Wow. Wow. Now, having keep that in mind, everything against him, picking up now, so therefore, here they are, and their heart is looking at itself and others. And when you look at yourself and others and all that is seen, and you look at it and reflects our human thinking, what do we see? We see everything as we humans. We see it and interpret it as based on our experience, based on our culture or environment, and we look at it. We evaluate a world from an earthly human standpoint. That's how we evaluate. And therefore, by the flesh. So if we reject God, if I leave God out, the only way I can see anything and understand anything is on an earthly level. That's all I can do. You can talk about it. You can read 5,000 books. If you leave God out, all you are is earthly, and that's all you can do is make a human judgment, a human interpretation, a human understanding. You can't make a heavenly understanding without God. How are you going to do that? You can't do that. That makes just good old common sense. So people, if we're going to leave God out, which is what they're doing, then there's no way. All we can come up with is solutions, human thinking, human analysis, and everything else. And so that's what the people were doing. And Jeremiah has to be warned that our humanity is very, very vulnerable to such analysis, reading, looking, understanding this way. And we read. We read and understand. We feel, we fear, we're frustrated, all of those things. Go with me to chapter 20 for a moment. And remember now, Jeremiah ends, as he's writing, God is putting the book together, and he ends with a negative understanding before he tells you why this is all going to happen. Interesting. Chapter 20, verse 14, "Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed." Verse 18, the end of the section. "Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame." Now that's how he ends. Humans are going to get clobbered if you're going to try to look at the world around him and try to put the pieces together and hope it comes out all right. You can't do that. It won't come out. And you can project and do all kinds of things, but you only can project like down the end of the hall. You can't project into tomorrow morning. You can dream about it and think about it, but you haven't gone into tomorrow morning. And that lies ahead of you. So we see a little bit, and we're encouraged, and it's all right, looks good. But if we looked a little further, we don't have the same comfort. We don't have the same hope. We aren't sure as you move. And then the global situation keeps moving in, especially because of the computer age, which is awful hard to overcome because it's so potent and powerful. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so here's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah has to go in his wonderful, wonderful way, and God is, and Jeremiah has overcome. He's going to give you chapter 21, 22, 23, all the way to the end. He's going to put the pieces together after telling you, listen, your human flesh, your human being, as a human being, as a believer, you are subject to the world around you. And if you let, and Jeremiah looks around, everything is negative in the sense that there's nothing of God in it. So that doesn't help at all. So now, over if you would, in the light of that, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah has to overcome his humanity, his flesh. And so do you and I. We understand that. If I don't overcome it, it's going to overcome me. Because Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 tells us the flesh cannot please God in no way, shape, or form. No flesh shall glory in my presence, etc. It isn't going to work. So if I want to get God in the picture, I want to get light in the darkness to have some help in understanding. Then I got to have God in there. And if I don't have God in there, I got a problem. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so therefore, and I understand as the world I live in, as I really look at reality and try to realize reality in the right way, I'm going to find that darkness keeps getting darker, darker. And I need to overcome the darkness. I need to overcome the failure of people that aren't hearing, they aren't understanding, they have little or no interest in doing either. They don't want to hear, they don't want to understand. Now, having said, don't want to do either one. Now, and then they want to think what they want to think. They want to do what they want to do. They want to believe what they want to believe, the way they believe it. And therefore, that's what they want to do. Now, what do you do with a people like that? They want to believe what they want to believe. They want to do what they want to do. What are you going to do with them? That's what they are. That's the world. Now, hang on to that. Now, here, God, here we are looking. So, God, we want to get some more help because it's our world, just like in Jeremiah. It's certainly further down the road than Jeremiah was, to say the least. Now, over to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, picking up, if I can, in thought, and you would recall, God, the wonderful statements God said, and if we read Jeremiah, they didn't have an ear, chapter 6, they didn't have an ear to hear. They didn't want to hear. God said, turn back to the way, get your act right. They said, we don't want to hear that. And they didn't. They didn't. They didn't do it. Now, so therefore, is that an age-old question, issue, and problem? Yes, it is. So here in Matthew chapter 13, giving a view into the future, the Lord does, Matthew 13, and in the process of that, for the time's sake, verse 9, in the light of the parable of the sower, etc., verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's in the light, gives you an illustration of the sowing of seed. And he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So therefore, now I'm just going to move quickly, but you'll pick up, without doing it at that point, you're going to pick up 15 times he's going to say hear and ear. He's going to say it over and over and over again. So you can't miss it. You must mean what you want us to hear and understand. That is correct. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Use your ear. Now, I don't mean all the rest of the stuff. It's a mental ear. It's a ear to hear. Actually, the Hebrew Old Testament word for ear, to be an ear witness, to take your ear like a can and take your ear and stretch it out and put it where the sound's coming from. Take your ear and stretch it out to be an ear witness, an ear witness. You put your ear out. Wow. Because you want to hear. You want to capture it. Now, so therefore, just to get the flavor of this, since it helps us to understand our world in which we live and what they lived in. So therefore, in Jeremiah and in chapter 13, etc., picking up the thought over all kinds of different ways to do it quickly. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Hang on to that part. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see, but they see not. They hear, but they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. God said, I'm going to warn you, warn you, warn you. Remember, years ago, there used to be signs when you were on the highway, years ago, and I don't know what they do now, and you drive the highway, especially out going out west or something, and you see a billboard that says water or peanuts, bananas, whatever, up ahead. And then you drive a little 10 miles further. That's another sign. You're nearer than before. Here's another sign. Up ahead is more. And you keep going, and the signs keep building till you get there. God, what are you doing? I'm going to warn and warn and warn and warn. You're going to the road where there's no bridge, and you won't be able to cross it. I'm trying to tell you, said God to Jeremiah, to each king, I'm warning you, and I don't stop warning you. Why? Because there's a real bridge out, and you aren't going to be able to get there on this road. God, help us some more. Well, here we are. Help me, God. We just started with it. Don't you know you are in an evil and adulterous generation? And what are you doing, God, as a believer? I'm saving you from this, Galatians 1:4, this present evil world. Not this present nice world. This present evil world. What are you, John chapter 17? What was your prayer about us? I don't pray that he takes you out of the evil world, but he keeps you in the evil world to be a light in the darkness. And I look to God to keep you from the evil one, the prince of the power of the air. You're in darkness. Every day you live, you're living on a road that's heading for destruction. Now, if you want me to give you false news and a lot of baloney, I don't do that, but people do. People give a lot of stuff that isn't really, and in our world right now, you have a lot of things that cause you to wonder about a lot of things that you wouldn't have. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, the signs are there. God, you don't quit. No, I don't. Nope. And sliding, if I can, verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy which I say which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. 4, verse 15, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see. They don't want to see with their eyes. They don't want to hear with their ears, and should not understand with their heart. And that should be converted, and I should heal them. Remember what we read in Jeremiah. We looked for peace, but we found none. We looked for healing and health, and there wasn't any but trouble. We're looking without you, God. And there's no way to go down the corridor of time without you and come up with anything helpful. It just isn't going to work. And that's just being objective. We like to kid ourselves about a lot. Well, they're nice people and they have good thoughts. You can have all of that you want. It isn't going to work. You can talk about pie in the sky later on. Wonderful future. You can do all of that. It isn't real. What's the sense? So now, here in Jeremiah, therefore, sliding up to verse 18, here, hear ye, therefore, the parable of the sower. And then when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart, this is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. And you say the word, you give a tract out, you do all those wonderful things, being a witness, but if they don't want it, it doesn't go anywhere. And the system's evil. The flesh is against it. Does your flesh want to get saved? Does your old nature want to get saved? No. No, you want to get saved. You got it. You got that dumb package in you from Adam. I don't want what Adam gave me, death. I want what you give me, Lord, the last Adam. I want life. Now, so here, and if you read through chapter 13, 20, 21, 22, 23. You're going to read each time. You're going to read verse 20. Just, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and on, with joy receiveth it, etc., etc. Sliding down verse 22, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, anxious, all the different things we're concerned about, and the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So God, you said it, yeah, it's going to work, but you have to have good ground. You have to have a heart that believes. You don't do that, it won't make any difference. What you do? You can read the Bible for 400 years. It won't do any good. Now, so in the and without turning there, remember Revelation. How do you end God? Revelation chapter tells us church history plus the churches in the turn of the century. And then he says in each church, Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 7, he that hath an ear to hear, that the Spirit of God saith to the churches, plural. Is anyone listening to what I'm trying to tell them? No. Nope. Who's listening? If they were listening, you'd have a whole different world. You'd have a whole churches would be different. They're all supposed to be God lined up with God's word, but that isn't true. And we don't need to be, because we don't want to be, and generally speaking in the world. Now, so having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so going down the corridor now, over, if you would, to Mark. Mark in chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, may I pick up in thought, going to verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Hear what? Verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed. Be paying attention, be on your toes. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. And unto you that hear shall more be given. So, are you hearing with a view to capture the truth? Are you hearing with a view, with a hearing ear, to retain it? Or is the same thing repeated 500 years, 400 years, and you never gets in? Reckon yourself dead and never gets in. Wow. Now, so therefore, God, what are you saying? The Lord, you're telling us to take heed, to take heart, make sure you're taking it in, the truth, when you hear it. That with what measure you're measuring, how much you capture tonight, how much you capture the truth, is the benefit you're going to have from it. To the measure you don't capture it, you don't have it. If you drink your orange juice, you'll have your vitamin C a little bit, okay? If you don't drink your orange juice, you won't have your vitamin C a little bit. Now, so God, that's what you're saying. Uh-huh. And you got to read verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And if you don't capture it, by the time you go out the door, it's all gone. All gone. We come in, get some more. But it's all gone. Instead of accumulating, it isn't. It's all gone. God, you're saying that. I am. I'm trying to help you. I'm warning you. You've got to have, because otherwise you're stuck trying to make the world you live in work without any light. Without any right, without me, said God. Without me, you can do nothing. Wow. Now, So now, having said that a little bit, go over with me to Mark chapter 8 to illustrate. Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, may I pick up, please, verse 18 will get for us. Our Lord Jesus, I'm going to even read verse 17. When Jesus knew it, he said unto them, saith, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? How come you aren't getting it? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not understand? Remember, when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? You actually witnessed and carried the basket that never got emptied. Up and down, 5,000, up and down 4,000. 15,000 actually, and that includes women and children. And you're going to carry the basket. Here we are. Whoops. Carry the basket. You're going to carry the basket. And it's full. It's full. And when I come to the other end, it's full. And when you walk back to me, said the Lord, it's full. Now that's an object lesson. Did you all participate? Did you all see? Did you all understand? Well, yes. Then how come you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you? If you understand what I'm trying to say, you'll have the benefit of it, and you'll go to the next step. But if you don't, you aren't taking in anything, then you don't get anything. And for 10 more years, you don't know anything, actually, practically, because that's what you got to do. You have to go, and the whole point of it is to present the church, Colossians 1:28, to present every believer. And remember that in Colossians 1:28 is interesting, because I warn you, said Paul, I am warning you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, I'm warning you. That's his word. Warning. How about a little pleasure? No. I'm warning you. I'm going to present. It is necessary for me to go after you to present every man what? Perfect. That's the assignment. That revolves warning. Why can't we just have a nice thing? No, it isn't about niceness. It's about life. It's about rightness. It's about having truth, the reality. The real reality of realities. That's what you want to have. Wow. Now, so therefore, over if you would to, Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. And Luke chapter 8, say it again to me another way. Luke chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, known, clear, public, plain, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. So everything is going to come out. Therefore, verse 18, take heed, there's your little word, take heed, therefore, how, we looked at what you hear and how you hear. Here's how. We already looked at what you're reading, what we're saying, what we're trying to understand, and now how do you understand it? Verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth. He thinks he has. She thinks she has. But she hasn't. I think I got it. But you don't. You don't. How are we going to know? Because we keep grabbing hold. Truth. So actually, as I'm mumbling in my half a cent's worth, so that you can continue when I stop, you can keep going with the wonderful truth to repeat it, to understand it, and put it to work. That's what keeps the assembly safe. You understand the truth? Roll up your sleeves, and you're doing the truth. And you got it. And every single believer in the remnant that wants it and has it, that gives us the basis for waiting, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Look, now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so here's all these different signs, etc., and having an ear to hear and all of those things. Now, without going back to Jeremiah and in there, because all of those things are to be seen and understood, but in getting the thought across, let me do two things that may help you. The warnings. And every single king, Jeremiah warned in the same way. Jeremiah, did you ever quit warning? No. And if we took time to read in Jeremiah, you're going to read each king? What is he saying? I warn you. So it isn't a question you didn't warn. No, you did. You did just that. And we need that. We need that to stop. And when we don't are duly warned, we're in trouble. So if you went over to Acts chapter 20, that's what's going to protect us. If we don't have that, we're in trouble. God has to help us. Acts chapter 20, picking up in thought. And in Acts 20, you know Paul is got to depart from Ephesus. He's not coming back. And in the process, verse 28. Remember our two little words, wonderful little words. Take heed unto thyself. Remember the illustration, simple, you have it every time you're in an airplane. When you have the little yellow thing come down in front of you, when the yellow thing comes down, put that on first. But your children are sitting there. No, if you don't put that on you, take heed to yourself first, then you can help them. Think of 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself, and then you can help them that want help. But you can't help anybody that doesn't want help. It just isn't going to go anywhere. How can it? Now, so here, chapter 20, Paul, take heed, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath given you, made you overseers. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And then you slide down, wolves are going to come in. Verse 29, for I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, because they can't get them. They aren't going to go out when Moses is there. They aren't going to go when the Lord is there. They aren't going to go when Paul is there, because they're up against, oh, they can't go against Moses, and you can't go against Joshua. I'm with you as I was with him, and you can't go against our Lord. And you can't go against the Apostle Paul because he's equipped for anything. The devil doesn't have a chance. He can do whatever he wants, try to shipwreck him, poison him, and everything else. But you can't get him. Therefore, Paul, you understand, when the enemy is able to come in and get a weak flock, a weak sheep, they're going to go and the wolves are going to have a wonderful meal. Now, in the light of all that, therefore, verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, verse 31, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one day and night with tears. Now you think of it. I have a little niceness. No, you can't. it's too big a problem. We're talking about life and death, right and wrong. And so, well, I do whatever. Now, that's the trouble. Then you're going to keep going the same way. And next week you wake up, well, where was God last week? And then the third week goes by, and the fourth week goes by, etc. And where's God? And he isn't. And your heart's going to get swallowed up, Everyone else is trying to survive, and you're going to try to survive the same way they do. Now, therefore, in closing, keeping in mind the judgment, God, we're looking at the judgment of Nebuchadnezzar leveling the city, the temple in Jerusalem. And God, you've warned over and over and over. You always warn, because we're not in heaven, we're here. It's not a picnic, and it's not a nicety thing. Not a club. We have a little club, little friendship. It isn't about that. It's about God and life and truth and the battle that's on between good and evil, right and wrong. Wow. That war is, who understands that? Who cares about that war? You'll see, but it is very, very relevant now. So therefore, God, here we are. Now in the light of the judgment, and you're warning them, over to Galatians chapter 3, in closing. Galatians chapter 3. And what do we know? God, the judgment. That's Israel's going to be put in the bottom of the pile, as we started out. So therefore, bottom of the pile, and here we are, God, representing you, and we're in the middle of the thick of it, just like Jeremiah, only in a different setting, a different time frame. And here we are. Now, God, and here's all the warning, and we need to understand we're in that kind of setting. That's setting what? Setting up the tribulation, isn't it? Aren't we headed to the tribulation? Sure we are. And everything is moving that way, in every way, shape, and form. In with the world system, etc. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, now God, here we are. Now God, Jeremiah is going to be a little later. He's going to see the Nebuchadnezzar literally bulldoze, as it were, the city and the bodies all over the place. Now God, here we are. You've already leveled the judgment. When you died on the cross, you set it so that every man and woman and boy and girl is going to appear before me at my judgment. Either as believers at the Bema Seat of Christ or at the great white throne, I have settled the fact. You are going to give an account. Think of Philippians chapter 2. You'll know every man, woman, boy or girl is going to be able to have to say that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God, everyone, every knee shall bow. Now, wonderful. Now, God, here we are. So what are we going to do? Well, we already are in the judgment. It's already taken place. And God, now we aren't trying to make the world any better. We aren't trying to fix it. We're trying to tell people the good news in the midst of the world, that they can get saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 10. For as many as are of the work of the law are under the law, under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Sliding down. Our Lord, what did you do for us? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree. God, what are you to do? I've already bore the judgment, your judgment, and you believe and have received forgiveness of sin. You've received the wonderful relationship, a wonderful relationship to the reality of who I am, who God is, and you're going to have that relationship. And you're in a world that is already judged. Think of Galatians 3:18. If you believe not, what? You're what? Jason, you're condemned what? Already. So we don't have to condemn. The wrath of John 3:36, the wrath of God abideth on you. You don't have to do it. It's already there. Already there. Neighbors, friends, everywhere. It's what it is. It's what it is. Now, God, you warned us. We're to be warned so we don't get caught up in it. And God, you've delivered us in a most wonderful way so that we are free. We're wonderfully free so that Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20. We're able to have a wonderful, wonderful, because we're judged. And therefore, verse 20, wonderful, I am crucified with Christ, if you're a believing heart, with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. Yet not you live, but Christ liveth in me. So the old flesh nature, you don't have that, you reckon yourself dead. And the life which I now have, right now, right there, right now, I live in the flesh, I'm in this body, but I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So God, we have a wonderful relationship to you in a world of darkness, but we're to be lights. You are the light of the world, and we walk in the light as he is in the light. John, 1 John 1:7. As we walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of what? Jesus Christ does what? Cleanses us from all sin. Well, we are. Well, that's what we are. Little lights. Work, home, school, play. And so it isn't a big deal. It's a big deal, but it isn't a big thing that we have to go through anything. God has just done that. So if I'm going to be a child of God, I want to enjoy being a child of God in a world that doesn't want to be a child of God. And so enjoy it. Thank God for it. So here we are, gathered together in the middle of the week for the Lord's Day to be reminded, refreshed. What? God, you're a wonderful God. We're in your presence. And I want to know that. I need the rest. I need the reliance. I need to be able to look to you with all my heart, to have all the strength I need to handle work, home, school, easy, health-wise, problems-wise, people-wise, just being alive. Who knows what tomorrow is? God, you do. And before I even get there, James 5, I'm looking to you, God. So thank you that I can be here. Thank you that I can get home. Thank you for whatever you're going to have, God. And then give me the insight and hindsight and common sense to trust you with all my heart. Wow.